Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There are a few passages from our scriptures that whenever I hear them read or read them, I automatically have a song from Sunday school playing in my head for the next, few days. You all probably have had an experience of that with any kind, with various songs, maybe not with biblical songs, but one of those passages is this one. Another one is the story of Zacchaeus, and I just begin singing the song in my head. In this one, it's, "I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me." Did any of you learn that song in Sunday school? Yeah. So we could all sing together, but I'm not going to make you. But maybe you'll have that ringing in your head for the rest of the day. Now, when I was a child, I was aware of the problem with the language because I wanted to be one of the people who fish too. I wanted to have someone fish for me and call me into the church. So, we'd have to change the words if we were going to continue to use the song, but it's still calling people to be part of something more than themselves. Jesus was walking by the sea, and he called out to a few fishermen. He said, "Follow me, come with me, and we will learn something new." And they had the courage to leave their nets behind, to leave their family behind, and they got up and went. It's possible they weren't having much luck with the fishing. Who knows what it was that caused them to leave behind their livelihood in order to try something new. But this story, for me, is at the heart of who we are as the church. We are people who have been called. Sometimes we're not comfortable with that word, so maybe we could use the word invited to share in the work of Jesus. We can follow his example, and we respond and do. So we're called or invited, we respond and do. And that is what the church is, the people and the work. Now, it's easy to be confused about that because we're all used to thinking about the church as beautiful buildings, such as the one we are in. But without us, this building is just a lovely building. It is the people who bring it to life. And as we are the church, what we do is how we represent the word of God to the world. So, what do you do with all of the moments of your life? your work time, your spare time, your family time, your prayer time? Where do you donate your time and your talent? Where do you make a difference in your community? And what was it that got you started? What helped you make a connection with that group or those people or that cause? For me, when I think about my own life and how I give of my time or my treasure, it's because someone has spoken to me about it and invited me to join with them in their work and their ministry. So if I get 50 letters from a hospital or a children's group or some other kind of thing in the mail, an environmental group, although I'm interested in all of those things, if all I do is get 50 letters from them in the mail or an email or a phone call, it's not likely that I'm going to embrace that cause. But when someone comes up to me and says, hey, I want to tell you about this fundraiser that I'm participating in. It's for this program in hospice that really helps children. And you know that my son died a few years ago, and we never would have made it without the hospice children's program that was there for us 24 hours a day, week after week, making it simpler. And even though it was a horrible situation, they made it so that we could live through it. Would you help me by supporting this effort? When they tell me that story, I want to get out my treasure and hand it over. Not all of it, but some of it. I want to participate in the event that they've asked me to join. A personal invitation makes all the difference for me. And I bet if you think about your own lives, that it's a personal invitation, a personal encounter with something that has caused you to decide how and where you spend your time and your treasure. Part of our calling as people of faith is to nurture the relationships that help us make a difference in the world. We nurture relationships with people that we have had for many, many years, and we're called also to nurture relationships with people that we meet today and tomorrow and into the future. We're called to be people who say, come and go with me. One of the fundamental things in the Reformed tradition of the Christian faith is that everyone is called to ministry. I think we have it on our bulletin. I wasn't sure, but now I'm sure. If you look on the back, it says ministers, all the members, I would say all the people of First Presbyterian Church. And then I'm the temporary pastor. But all the people of the church are the ministers. We are the ones who are called to go and to do and to be representatives of Jesus in the world around us. So you can't say to yourself, oh, I'm not the pastor, I'm not one of the elders, I'm not one of the deacons. It's enough for me to support the church by coming on Sunday mornings and putting something in the offering plate. We are all called to use the parts of ourselves that God has given us, the gifts and the talents that we have, the shortcomings that we have. We are all called to use our whole selves to share the love of God that is written upon our hearts. That's kind of scary. But it's what it is and what we believe. We're called to do something as a result of our experience and our encounter with God's love. Now, it's possible that we're called to be part of the prayer ministry or a health ministry. It's possible that we're called to help give people rides who are in need of that. Maybe we cook. Maybe we're just friendly and we help reach out to people who need a new friend or need lifting up or an encouraging word. Maybe it's reading and teaching. Maybe it's speaking. Maybe it's just being present with one another. We all have something to offer. And one of the challenges in our lives is figuring out what it is that we're being called to offer at this moment in time. How do we take what we have, the gifts that we have, and use them to build our community of faith, and the community in which we live? We don't have to go and proclaim it to everyone and tell everyone, well, this is what I'm doing. But we have to spend time listening for God to lead us. Sometimes God leads us through a phone call from the nominating committee. Sometimes God leads us through a moment of aha during our prayer time. Sometimes God leads us while we're doing our mundane, everyday tasks. God calls us, and it's up to us to listen and respond. As I was saying earlier, though, it always helps when there's someone else showing us the way. That's what Jesus did. He said, "Hey, come with me." He didn't say to those people, the guys who are out fishing, he didn't say, "Hey, go and do what I tell you." He said, "Come with me and follow. Come and follow me. Come and be with me and learn from me." And so we are the ones who work with each other. We're not sent out to do things on our own, but we work with our community. And there are some people in our community who have that really great gift of being able to see potential in others that they don't see in themselves. We see potential and help you uncover those gifts that you're not even sure you have. We all have encouragers in our lives, people who see something and say, "Oh, you know, you did a really good job there. It would be really great if you shared that talent with other people. You know, I know this looks like it's hard, but I'm really sure you're able to do it." We all need encouragers like that, and we can all be encouragers like that. Jesus saw something in Andrew and Peter and James and John, and he invited them to leave the life of a fisherman, to join him in a life of the unknown, a life of risk, a life of learning, a life of sharing, a life of relationship. They had to give up what they were used to, their everyday routine. They had to leave their families. And who knows what else Jesus said, because I'm sure there was more to the conversation than that, but I don't think it was very clear what Jesus was asking them to do. But there was something about him that made them say yes. If I had been in their shoes, I'm not sure I would have joined. I'm not sure I could have given up what I knew to try something brand new that was completely unknown. But we, as people who have benefited from their actions, are grateful for their courage. And it reminds me that not only do we have to listen and discern, but we have to have courage to live into our calling. We don't have to have the same kind of courage that people in the early church had, because we live in a time and a place when being Christian is not very difficult We're not very often asked to give up our regular lives and try something new. We're not very often asked to give up our livelihood in order to be faithful. Most of us don't have to take that kind of risk. But we do have to take other risks with our social group, with our families. There are times when we might be at odds with those that we love very dearly because we don't agree on fundamental things. But learning how to stand up for justice, for the people who have no voice, for the people who seem to be ignored most often, trying to give shelter to someone who's not welcome in other parts of our community, challenging our elected officials to make choices that support the interests of the many over the concerns of the few. Those are some of the things that we might do as people of faith, because as we read our scriptures, that's what Jesus taught people to do and to say. Steve Harvey, an entertainer and writer, was quoted in the past couple of weeks as saying, "Your career is what you're paid for, and your calling is what you are made for." A lot of times we're fortunate and are able to kind of have our career align with our calling, but that's not always the case. And we always have to be open to the notion that what was maybe our calling in the past may be different today. We may be called to something new as we age. Paying attention to our lives, how we spend our time and our money, where we invest, how much we take our creation for granted. Figuring all those things out and observing our habits helps us understand what we value. And holding that up to what we believe Jesus teaches us to value through the words of Scripture and the legacy that we have inherited from those who have gone before us. Looking at those two, how closely can we bring them into alignment? That's part of our calling, to make choices that support what we say we believe. There may be some of you who say, "Oh, I'm not really called to do anything." I've said that. But it's not true. You're selling yourself short. You're suggesting that God did not give you a plethora of gifts as he gave to the others in our community. It's hard sometimes to figure it out. We don't always know what we're called to do and to be. I often say to myself, "I'm not sure what the right thing is for me to be doing now." But the first step is to remember that indeed you are called to something. And that if you spend time in discerning, you will figure it out sooner or later. It might not be easy. You'll probably make mistakes. You'll get turned down here or there or sent packing. It's not comfortable, but being faithful is not the same thing as being comfortable. The good news in all this is that you cannot go wrong in this journey of discernment. Pray, meditate, imagine. Do something crazy that you've never done before. And through all this, the Spirit of God does not leave you empty-handed, but helps you through to that moment of discovery. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will teach you a new way of being in the world." I encourage you to accept this invitation to faith, this time and opportunity to discern again what your gifts are, and how you might use them to build the kingdom of heaven in this time and place. Mary Oliver is a poet and an author, and she uses her words to evoke wonder and hope in our hearts. Here's a poem called The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Amen.